Morning, everybody. It's really good to see you all, and it's a real privilege to be asked to lead today's service with my Selig team, who I'll introduce you to as the service goes on. So this is our scripture to call us into the house of the Lord and remind us why we're here. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Before we sing that great first song, I want to read to you some words that a guy called Matt Fuller has written, and he's a minister at a church in London. And he summed up how we should approach coming into the house of God in a way that really resonates with me. We approach the Lord as sinners who are loved and forgiven as his children. God looks in favour on those who come before him and say, "We're truly sorry." We don't have to pretend that we're good people. We can admit that we've done all sorts of things wrong. We can regret that we failed our Heavenly Father, but we can be sure that he faithfully loves us. Before we begin, I'm going to confess my failings to God, and I'd invite you to join with me in this prayer and to say Amen at the end of it. Heavenly Father, I confess that I am often more ready to resent than to repent, more ready to squander than to serve, more ready to criticise than to care, and more ready to ignore than to include. I sometimes struggle to love others as I should, because I do not believe that you love me as much as you do. Please forgive me. Please make real to me the meaning and depth of your love at the cross. Show me your love and show me your grace. Change me to become more like you. I ask this in the name of my Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's join together. Let's praise God for his faithfulness, for his faithful forgiveness of us every morning. We're going to sing this wonderful hymn. The words were written nearly 100 years ago, but they still ring true today. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to start by telling you a little bit about the Selig Suffolk Trust and who we are and what we do. So the Selig Suffolk Trust is a charity that runs two projects. The first and the most well known is the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter, which does exactly what it says on the tin. We provide shelter at night during the winter, but we do a whole host more than that for those who come to stay with us. And what we really want is that they use the shelter as a platform for making change in their lives, and our focus is on helping them to do that. So we look after them at night, we give them pyjamas and slippers and toiletries and shepherd's pie and sponge pudding and lots of games and opportunities to rest, and give them a good breakfast in the morning, and then we work with them during the day so that they can make the changes that they want to make. And our second project, which is less well known but is growing rapidly, is Ipswich Hope Into Action. And it links really well with the night shelter, because what we do is provide with churches homes for people who were homeless. And we have three homes in Ipswich, and we have four more in the pipeline, two in Ipswich and two further afield in Suffolk. And at the moment, everybody who's in one of our Hope Into Action homes has either stayed in our night shelter or in another church-based night shelter somewhere else in the country. So it's a really great way of us spotting people who are keen to continue to work with Christians to make changes in their lives. And we can only do this because we have hundreds. I didn't copy and paste hundreds because I ran out of time. So we have hundreds of wonderful volunteers who are like superheroes. So I think there's 24 up there. And if you times that by 10, that's how many amazing volunteers we have, about 240. And they give up their time, they leave their families, they leave their warm houses, and they come out to a church hall to help look after our guests, or they work in our houses to help look after our tenants. And we have a small team of staff. So as well as lots of churches supporting us, we have lots of groups and individuals. Because of that, we can employ this team of staff. So that's me. I'm the charity manager, and I do a bit of everything. Answer the phone, check we've got milk in the fridge, whatever needs doing. And then I've got Claire as a minifigure in winter clothing, because she runs the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter. And our colleague Linda, who can't be with us today because it's her birthday and she's gone away to celebrate, she has spent many years working as a teaching assistant, and now she heads up our Hope Into Action project. And then we've got Gemma, busy with her laptop and her paperwork, and she's our office coordinator. And then Claire has Sally, who used to run her own cafe, and Nigel, who used to be a policeman. They're the main two staff that help her keep the shelter going. Linda has Finta, who is a gardener the rest of the week but works part-time with us. And Helen, who's with us today, who was a nurse and has come over to us in the last year. And then Gemma has little office elves called Sherry and Chris, and they volunteer in our office. So that's our team. And so as you can see, from a fairly small team, three of us worship here. So we're your Selig Suffolk representatives, and that's what we do. And I guess we've been asked to head up this service because our holy habit theme at the moment is serving God. So to help you understand a little bit more about what the night shelter involves, Claire is going to ask the kids to come and help her do one of the most important jobs in the night shelter. So I'll hand you over to Claire.
Am I on now? Yes. Okay, so I need all the boys and girls, please, to the front. I also need Sir Kevin, please, and my lovely husband, Andrew, mostly because I want to see Andrew make a bed. That's why he's here. So, Andrew, can you just help Kevin move out of the way, please? So, boys and girls, I need you in two teams, because you're going to help us... Hello, Belle. You're going to help us make two beds. Well done, Matthew. So everything that is behind here, gentlemen, needs to come out. So how many have we got? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe Emily. So Connor and Oliver, you need to be on opposite sides because you're the two older ones. Thank you. And then we'll just split you down the middle. Catherine, do you want to go with Oliver? Isla, you going with Oliver? Matthew, go on Oliver's side. That's it. And then you guys, you're with Isabella and Connor. So what we need you to do is we want you to pretend that you've come to the shelter for the evening. You're volunteers. The most important thing is setting up beds. But we're going to time you to do it. Gemma, have you got a stopwatch, please? Excuse me. So it's a bit like Generation Game. We've got our generational individuals here. Thank you very much. So Gemma's going to, or Susanna's going to time you, and basically, I'm not going to tell you too much what you need to do, but you've got a bed that needs set up. Each bed needs two quilts, two pillows made up with bedding, two towels, a fleece blanket, and a praying booklet. Are you ready? Go. I feel like we need something along those lines. So I'll help you by doing these. Right, so... do you want to grab some cushions, smaller ones, and you can put some pillowcases on the cushions? We've got some bedding sets around here. Connor, do you know how to make a bed? No, we'll find out, won't we? He needs to make a bed because soon he's going on his year six trip and they have to make their own beds. So this will be interesting. So, right, where's Isla? Isla can do a pillowcase. Right, there we go. So this is your set. Mind your fingers in the beds, by the way. Oh, Andrew, this is interesting watching you. I'll give you a clue, it's upside down. Yeah, it's upside down. There we go. You need some pillows, don't you? Oh, Isabella, I'm going to pinch those. Oh, Catherine, I'm going to pinch those pillows from you. Well done. And now you've got, hold on, you haven't put your end poles in. If you've got anything left over, then it's because you haven't put it in. Okay, there should be no spares. So, goes through here. That's it. Pillowcases. There's some pillowcases over here. Connor, you can do a quilt. There we go. There's your bedding. Your bedding's down there. Matthew, you take that over. Oh, my goodness, it's heavy. There we go. Joanne, there's a pillowcase for you. That's a bit of a half-hearted effort there, Andrew, but we'll... that's a bit of a half-hearted effort that these holes need to go in there. Because if our guests lay on that, what would happen? Well, we don't want that happening. Well done, Kevin. He's whizzing ahead. I'm out of breath. I'm not even doing anything. You need a pillow. Oh, the pillows are here. There we go. There's another one. Oh, Isla, what are you doing? How are we doing for time? Oh, Kevin. Kevin, I wouldn't worry. Andrew's done one, so you can do one each. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Right. Oh, and look, this is where we watch Andrew try and put a quilt on a cover on a quilt. This is always exciting to watch. There we go. So you've got two quilts for each bed. So I would assume the quilt covers here are for demonstration purposes only. They're actually my children's. They're not actually ones from the shelter. Now, are you going to do the buttons and the poppers up? This is the question. Where's the inside? Well done. So there's the pillow. So one quilt needs to go on the bottom. So that's what they lay on. So that just helps to cushion the bed. And it helps to keep them warm as well. Right, Catherine, what should help her with that? There we go. Oh, Andrew's revisiting his earlier... oversight. Are you all right? Oh, look, they're doing buttons and everything over here. Right, we've got towels and these try praying books we leave on their beds, and it's something that we encourage our volunteers to look at with them should the conversation of prayer or Christianity or God come up. And it's just really simple language, ways of which you can pray for the first time. Maybe you've never prayed before, so We encourage our volunteers to look at those. Charlotte, you must be cringing at this because I know you're a Mrs. Hinch, aren't you, really? Emily and Matthew, just mind your fingers on there. Don't worry too much about that. So I'm going to lift this up for you. Oh, Sue. Does Kevin ever make a bed at home? No. I think he's on the... Oh, he's on... I don't know if you'd pass the volunteer application, Kevin, to be honest. It's like an audition. Well done, Team Andrew. Right, so lay that completely flat. And then we'll put your pillows on the top. Okay. What else? What are you missing? Oh, well done, Matthew.
Is that Oliver?
I feel like you've stolen one of their pillows, Matthew, and hidden it under the bed. No, they haven't got the duvet the right way. Caroline, do you want to help? I think you put the wrong corners in, Kevin.
I think Team Ollie is done. So
well
he's
done!
You're going to get in, Oliver.
Well done. I didn't. I told you this morning, Kevin, what you needed to do, then I told Andrew. Well done. Oh, I think we'll stop there. But really good effort, Team Kevin. Well done. So it's important to realise that our volunteers aren't timed and they're not doing it in front of an audience. And yes. So thank you very much. I think we're just going to... The best way to clear these to one side, I think, will to carry them around there and possibly stack them one on top of the other. So, perfect, thank you. And whilst they're doing that, we're going to invite the singing company to come forwards and sing their song. Oh, can I just put that on there? So we asked at singing company... Kirsty and myself asked the children if they could think of a song that would coincide well with today's meeting. And Susanna and Jess chose a lovely song called A Prayer for All Mankind. And I'd really encourage you all to listen to the words. We're slightly low in numbers, but we're full of enthusiasm. So try and listen to the words as we sing this. Thank you.
Thank you.
singing company. I just need a couple of moments to get my emotions back in check. That was really moving. We're going to take up our offering now, and Simon's going to come and give us our notices.
Father God, we thank you that we have the privilege to meet in this place freely, and we thank you that we can freely give back to you. So please accept our gifts this morning, our small tokens of appreciation for the love that you share with us, and help us to use it wisely in this area. Amen. You're really welcome this morning. It's great to see you. If you're visiting us, you're especially welcome. Please know that you can come through into the community hall afterwards and share tea and coffee and refreshments with us. And please, if you've enjoyed it, do come again. We would love to see you again. We want to say a particular thank you as well to the guys from the Selig team for taking on this opportunity and leading us this morning. So thank you all for doing that. An open air is scheduled at 12 noon, but we'll see what the weather's looking like, and we'll discuss with the band whether that can go ahead. But if you'd like to join us at 12 noon at the Triangle near Tesco, you would be so welcome to do that. And then this evening, we meet again at 5:30 for Cafe Style Church. Claire's arranged this for us this evening. And we have Rebecca from the Suffolk Refugee Support coming to speak to us about the work that they do. So that should be a great opportunity to come and hear about some valuable work going on in our county. Next Saturday morning, you have the opportunity to come and eat more. So First Saturday Cafe from 10 until 11:30. And just in case you aren't aware, the First Saturday Cafe has played a huge part in helping us collect money towards the big collection this year. So it's a fantastic thing that keeps rolling throughout the course of the year and supports that vital work for us. Next Sunday we have our Harvest Sunday, and during the morning meeting we will have the Harvest Altar Service. So if you haven't collected your envelope yet, it's on a table in the foyer, please do that. And as it says on the envelope, you need just to be aware perhaps that 75% of what you give comes back into this church for us to support mission through Felix Do Salvation Army, and the other 25% stays within Anglia, it stays within the division. So every penny that you can give in that collection next Sunday morning ensures that good mission work happens for the Salvation Army in this region. Also next Sunday we have an evening meeting again, and we have the Unify Community Choir, who are represented from Chelmsford Salvation Army. They're going to come and share with us next Sunday evening, 5:30, but refreshments and drinks are available from 5 p.m. So please be aware of that. Come a little bit earlier and you can share in refreshments and meet those guys beforehand. All other activities are listed on your bulletin for the week that's coming ahead. And just one final point. We've had a prayer request through this morning from Louise Brown up in Liverpool. The Strawberry Fields team are working incredibly hard, and they look incredibly busy. And so they've asked particularly that we pray for them for strength, for protection, and wisdom in these coming days. Thank you for listening.
We're going to spend some time in prayer, a short time in prayer this morning. Particularly I want to focus on thankfulness for us as a charity, but also I realised as I was sat up here, so many charities are represented within our core, either by people volunteering with them, supporting them, working for them. And so I'd like you to spend some time maybe thinking of our charity, your charity, or an organisation that you are passionate about, I'm going to give you five headings, five kind of things to be thinking of and praying. And then if you want to spend just a moment praying, maybe with the person next to you or praying quietly in your head, and then I'll bring us to a close with a short prayer. So first of all, Father God, we come before you and we want to thank you for our wonderful volunteers. We are so blessed by each individual person that gives up their own time. Some of them volunteer with us overnight. They sacrifice their sleep. Some of them sacrifice time with their family for an extra hour in bed. And they come to us early in the morning. So Lord, we think now of the wonderful volunteers and the support they give us and other organisations. Father God, secondly, we thank you so much for the host churches, for the churches in Ipswich, of which there are five this year, that give the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter full use of their hall, their heating, their hot water, the space that they have, they give to the night shelter to open the doors to others. We thank you, Lord, for our supporters, our prayers, and our donors. And that can be said for all the charities represented here this morning. On a practical level, Lord, we thank you for the food, the beds, and the company that we are able to provide to our guests. Someone, a volunteer sitting with a guest doing a puzzle or playing a game of cards can make such a difference to that person. I thank you for the food that ordinarily we would take for granted, Lord, is such a blessing to these individuals. And the beds that we saw the teams make earlier, it gives them a base, somewhere to lay their head and feel safe. And then finally, Lord, I thank you for the working relationships that we at CELIG have formed with other organisations in Ipswich. Recently, we had Suffolk Mind give us some training. We've also worked with Inspire Ipswich. Just 42, also represented here, they've offered us some training as well. And we're able to come together with the other organisations and form a person-centred approach, really getting to know the individual and getting them the personalised support and care that they need. And Father, above all, help us set our hearts on your kingdom of love and justice and to seek to do your will here on earth as servants of Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
So as thankful servants of God, I'd like us to join together to sing our next song, All to Jesus.
Thank you.
sharing now, and it's called The Lord is Gracious. She does a lot more than make sure that beds get made. But I thought it might be nice for you to hear from Gemma about what she's learned since joining us. And Gemma is going to be interviewed by Susanna, if you'd like to come on up, Susanna. And then Gemma is going to interview Susanna, because Susanna has spent a few days doing work experience with us, and I thought you might like to hear a little bit about that.
Are we on? We're on.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Just hold it really close.
Go for it. You're asking me. Yeah. Go for it. So Gemma, what exactly is your role at Selig?
Scott, I've had to write this down because Julia gives me quite a large job description, but I'm not going to read it all. At Selig, I'm the office coordinator. So in my eyes, I've got the best job out of the whole team, mainly because I have a hand in every part of the project and all the work that we do. My main role is admin and finance, trying to keep the office tidy and under control, which at times can be a challenge because there are most weeks that actually we just come in and out of the office all the time. Everybody dumps stuff and then they go to the next thing, and then we all come back every so often to find normality again. I get to work with Hope Into Action, supporting the empowerment workers, and sometimes fun things like going shopping for moving into new houses, and sometimes more challenging times like a builder handing over keys on a Wednesday. They've been having one day to prepare a house for tenants moving in on a Friday. I started in the very end of January, beginning of February this year, so I didn't do too much work with the night shelter last season, as I was still settling in, but I am already looking forward to this season and seeing what great work we can do to help people off the streets and to do our best to rehouse them and help them to build and grow on the life they have and to support them along their journey.
And what have you learnt about serving God since joining SELEG?
That's a massive question. What have I learnt? Too much to squeeze into just a couple of minutes. Probably the biggest thing I've learnt this year has been the power of prayer and seeing God answer prayer in such practical and powerful ways. There is no typical week for me at SELEG, as every week is so very different. But I can tell you just from this last few months, I feel that daily I am fulfilling my calling to serve by trying to be a good Christian example to others, whether it be in my team, whether it be when meeting tenants or guests or people from other organisations. I often put others before myself and making sure we get the best for our tenants and guests. I pray with people and help others understand that God will always love us and that he will always forgive us. But most importantly, I've stolen this saying from Claire, but I see my service as trying to be God's hands here on earth. I believe that the job that God placed me at SELEG so that I can learn and grow my faith and I can give back to him some of the things that he's prepared me for in the last few years. You don't just walk through the door, you have to look out the windows. There are often times at SELEG I don't feel I'm equipped enough. But as we read in the Bible in Hebrews, God equips us and never gives us anything we can't handle. I am regularly challenged by what I do, but I totally feel that this is where God wants me to be serving at present. I believe that there is a verse in the Bible for everybody, and I believe my verse at present is Romans 8:28. We know that God works to help those people who love him. He uses everything that happens to them to bring something good, and he does this for those people that he has chosen to serve him. Say, Susanna. Susanna was, she did some work experience at SELEG, so she's going to tell you a little bit about what she did, first of all.
During my time at SELEG, I did lots of things, from visiting upcoming houses and making inventories, to organising finances and meeting tenants, and much more.
Much, much more. Okay, so what was the best thing you got out of it, and how did you feel that that came into where you are in your journey?
My favourite part of it was seeing the face of a new tenant, seeing his new house. It was just amazing. He was so happy. I can't describe it. And my favourite... Oh. And overall, I had an amazing 5 days. And before that, I had 2 other days. And I just can't wait to do more in the future. Thank you.
It was a real privilege to work with Susanna. She really did come with a completely clear insight, I think, of where we were with the charity and what we were doing. But she just took it all in her stride. From, as she said, for 1 minute she was helping me with income and expenditure, to the next minute she's doing an inventory on her house, she was measuring curtains. She just did it all. So I feel that I was truly blessed to work with Susanna, and I'm quite sure she's not finished at SELEG yet.
So here I am to talk to you, and I'm not going to preach, I'm not a preacher, but I do want to share with you some of the things that I've learned about serving God since working at SELEG. I got this job just over 3 years ago, and I can honestly say that as soon as I saw the advert, I knew that this is what God wanted me to do. And although the recruitment process was a bit bumpy and disorganised, I continued to have this unfaltering belief that this was the job that God had prepared for me. And not a day goes by where he doesn't go before me. So I'm really looking forward to sharing with you some of what I've learnt. I'm going to do it through the medium of a news quiz show called Have I Got News For You? Just waiting for my slides. So, it's not going to be a normal episode of Have I Got News For You. This is Have I Got News about serving God for you. So we're going to start off with a headline round. Now, I'm fairly sure that if I got all of you to write down what you think this headline might be, it's a headline from the Eastern Daily Press back in 2011, and it's really inspirational. So if I asked you to imagine what this headline might be, I'm fairly sure that there's however many of you here, none of you would come up with this. King's Lynn woman reunited with lost hat she mislaid on bus ride in Felixstowe after Suffolk police appeal. Now, there's a lot about this news headline that raises questions. First of all, I'm not sure this is news, but we'll set that aside. It's underwhelming nature aside. And then I have all kinds of questions, like, what was this hat? Why was this hat so important to her? Why on earth did the police get involved in helping her find this hat? What more is there to this headline? And I guess that makes me think about motivation. And being in the job that I have, I'm often seated at tables with lots of other organisations. And some of them are really big players. And it kind of never ceases to amaze me that I might be sat at the same table as some big cheeses. But whether we like it or not, the field that Selig works in at the moment, that of housing, is a political one. And there's lots of agendas at the table. And very quickly, I learnt that I have got to be really clear about what motivates me and what my motivation is for the job that I do. Because if I'm not clear, I could so easily get distracted. That political agenda and other organisations' agendas aside, I have this enormous workload. And if I wasn't really clear about my motivation, I would really struggle to stay focused and to stay afloat when things are super busy. So what motivates me? I guess the answer, as all good Sunday school students will know, is Jesus. If I don't hold on to the fact that the person that I'm serving when I go to work is Jesus, I would be distracted. And this certainty that it's him that I serve is what enables me to stay focused and to stay focused on the job that needs doing. And if ever I'm faltering or wavering, I just have to remember who it is that I'm serving, that I'm serving Christ, and I'm not serving anybody else. There's lots of people that have a stake in our work, but none has a stake as big as Christ. And it's Christ who I have to keep in the middle and keep in the centre. And it's Christ that I have to prioritise. So I've asked Gemma to read these verses to us, which kind of back up what I'm saying.
I'm reading from Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly, as though you were working for your real master and not merely for humans. You know what your real master will give you, an inheritance as your reward. It is Christ, your real master, whom you are serving.
Thank you, Gemma. So the first thing I've learnt is that I serve Christ and I only serve Christ. So we'll move on from our headline round to film round. Now, I'm going to play a clip in a minute, and it's from the film Schindler's List. Has anyone seen that film? Some hands going up. If you haven't, I would really recommend it. It's a hard watch, but it's an incredible story. So the clip that I'm going to show comes almost at the end of the film, and the film is based on the story of Oskar Schindler. And Oskar Schindler was a wealthy businessman, and he used his wealth to save the lives of the Jews who worked for him during the Second World War. And right at the end of the film, they gather round him. The war has ended, and they gather round him before he leaves them. And that's where this clip starts.
Thank you. Hebrew and from the Talmud, it says whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
It's a bit hard to hear, but what's happening in that moment is that the Jews that Oscar has saved give him a ring, a gold ring, and they have an inscription in it from their scripture about how saving one life saves the world. And he takes the ring and he looks around, and then he sees his car and his gold brooch, and he breaks down because what he thinks is, if I'd sold the car, I could have saved 10 more people. If I'd sold this brooch, I could have saved 2 more people. And he's racked by the people that he didn't save. Like Oscar Schindler, I don't do this work because I expect people to tell me that I've done a good job. He didn't save all those Jews because he wanted to be given a gold ring. He did it because he knew that their lives mattered. And I do my job because I know that the lives of the people that I serve matter. I'm not looking for recognition. In fact, I find it uncomfortable. So sometimes when I'm in meetings, other organisations say to me, why don't you do more on social media to say how much fantastic work you've done? And I don't do that because it feels wrong. And it feels wrong because what I'm doing is minuscule compared to what Christ has done for me. Christ had nails put through his hands. He had nails put through his feet. He had a crown of thorns rammed on his head. He walked through the streets in shame and humiliation. He was flogged. He was beaten. He wasn't believed. He was hung to die. And no matter how hard I work, no matter how much I do, it doesn't compare to what he's done for me. And the fact that this Saviour, this Christ, who did all of that for me and for you, The fact that he would want me to be involved in his plan is incredibly humbling. God's plan is that we should go out and tell the whole world the good news. And I am a tiny cog in that plan. And around me I have this great team of cogs. And we can see what God asks us to do here and now, but we don't really know how that fits into his enormous plan. But what I do know is that it's his work that I'm doing. And if I think about it being my work or my job, then that's wrong, because actually it's God I'm serving, and it's God who I want to give the glory to. And it's God who deserves the glory, because all I'm doing is being his hands and his feet. I'm going to ask Gemma to read these verses to us. And again, they back up what I've learnt.
When you give something to a poor person, keep it a secret from other people. Don't tell anyone. Your left hand will not even know what your right hand has done. Nobody else will know about the good thing that you have done. But God sees the things that you have done. But God sees the things you do secretly. In return, he will give you good things.
So another thing I've learned about serving God is that I want all the honour for the work that happens to go to him. And that I know that my reward will be with him in heaven. I'm not doing this work because I want lots of people now to be telling me what a great job I'm doing. So we're moving on to the last round, and this is the odd one out round. This is going to require some audience participation. So we've got some food and drink, some warm clothes, a welcome mat, and some people jumping for joy. Any ideas which of those might be the odd one out? Anyone want to be brave and hazard a guess? Yeah, the people jumping for joy. And why are they the odd ones out? That's because the green light is given by Jesus for us to go out and feed the hungry and give drinks to the thirsty, to clothe those who are cold, to bring them into the warmth, to include those who are shut out. That's what Jesus did here on earth, and that's what he's asking me to do here on earth. He doesn't want me to go out making happy people even happier. His mission is to look after those in need, and that's what we do, and we do that because of what he's done for us. The first time I came ever into this building, I was really struck by the words on this banner here: heart to God and hand to man. I came into this building before I got this job in Selig, and I was doing a job that I enjoyed, but I had this unmet hole in my spirit. I knew that God wanted me to do something else. I knew that I'd given my heart to him, and I knew that I wanted to be his hands. And this job allows me to be that. This job allows me to be to those people in need what Christ wants us to be. Again, I'm going to ask Gemma to read these verses to us.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I say to you, as you have done it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me.
So that's what I do in my job. I feed people who are hungry. I enable hundreds, probably thousands, of cups of hot sweet drink to go to those who are thirsty. We take people in, we bring them into our homes and into our shelter. We give people clothes. We look after them when they're unwell. We've got a tenant at the moment who's in prison. We've been to visit him. And we'll be waiting for him at the gates when he's released. And we're doing this for them because of what Christ has done for us. Jesus tells me to serve those in need. It's his command. It's his will that I'm doing. And the more I let him do that, the more of it he lets me do. So, missing word round. This is a famous round on Have I Got News For You. This, it might be a bit blurry on your screens, but this verse is Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Now, this verse is my scripture. My family started going to church when I was in my teens, and throughout my teens and my 20s, I really tried to be a Christian. I went to youth camp. I was a leader at youth camp. I went to different churches. I was in house groups. I really tried. I tried and tried and tried to be good enough, but I wasn't. I couldn't be a Christian. I wasn't good enough to be a Christian, and so I just kept going in this cycle of trying to be a Christian and failing, and then trying again and failing. And then a friend of mine invited me to a service in a church in London, and I wrote a card to start a course called Christianity Explored. And about halfway through that course, I knew that God was asking me again to give me, to give him my heart. But I was tired. I'd tried so many times. And I said to the leader on my, in my little group, I can't do it. I've tried. There's nothing left to try. I can't be a Christian. And the leader put their hands on my shoulders and spoke these words to me. And my life has never been the same since. So does anyone know what these missing words might be? I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will receive from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And what the leader on my Christianity Explored course said to me was, you don't have to be anything. You have to let God change you. And that is grace. That is grace, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And somehow, in all my years of going to church and going to youth camp, I'd missed that bit of learning, and I had strived and failed and strived and failed. But that scripture went straight into my heart, and my heart has been changing ever since. I cannot tell you how much God's Spirit has changed me since I've been in this post. I had no experience of working with the homeless. I have led a nice, sheltered, comfortable life. And suddenly, there I was, working with people who I would normally feel quite afraid of and might even cross the street to avoid. After my first winter in the shelter, I happened to be in town with my lovely sister. And on our way out of town, we saw a night shelter guest who God has definitely lodged in my heart very firmly. And she was with her boyfriend, who's quite big and scary, and is definitely the kind of person that people cross the street to avoid. And I rushed across the street to see her because I was overjoyed to see her face. And I realized that Caroline was on the other side of the street thinking, oh my word, what's happening? And I got Caroline over, and I felt like I was meeting a long lost friend, and I was just thrilled to see her. And we had a chat and a catch up, and I introduced her to my sister, and we moved on. And as we walked away, Caroline said to me, you have changed. And I have, but I haven't changed. God's Spirit in me is changing me all the time. And that's not me. I'm not doing that work. I'm nothing special. I'm just a person who is asking God to use me in his work. He has not saved me as a result of any good things that I have done. I have no reason to be proud about it. It's God who's worked in me to make me what I am. He's given me a new life because I am united with Christ Jesus. He saved me so that I can do good things in my life. Those are good things that he has prepared for me to do. I don't want to be like Oskar Schindler. When I meet God, I don't want to stand and say, I could have done more. I'm not serving him out of some kind of guilt trip. I'm serving him because of what he's done for me and because his spirit in me is changing me. These are the words that Oskar Schindler spoke in that clip. If I'd made more money, I threw away so much money, I didn't do enough. This car, why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 more people. This pin, 2 more people, at least one. 1 more person, a person. I could have gotten 1 more person, and I didn't. When I stand before God on Judgment Day, I want to know that I tried as hard as I could and that I used all that he gave me and that I let him shape the lump of clay that I am. And that's what I've learnt. I hope in some way some of this has been useful to you. And what I'm going to do now is ask the songsters to come and sing a song. Ever since I first heard this song, God's spirit in me resonates with these words because every single lyric is somebody that I've met and worked with. So I need to apologise in advance for the fact that I might cry while this song is being sung. But I want you to listen and I want you to think about the people who need Christ's love and think about what it is that we might be able to do to show that to them.
Thank you.
Thank you, songsters. They need you, they need me, they need Christ. We're going to end with a song that you'll see why, but it's a song that has always resonated with me because it's about being called and about offering to follow. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I've heard you calling in the night. I heard God's call when I saw my job being advertised, and I have the immeasurable privilege of serving him by doing it. So let's sing this, and let's think about what it might be that God is calling us to do, and let's think about being willing to follow him into it. expression. But it's not enough just to listen. We need to do something. So here's my prayer for us as we draw to a close today. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all your people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.